Hello everyone, this is Space Cafe Podcast and I am Marcus. When future residents of Moon Village, or whatever the village up there will be called, come home from a hard day's work in the not-so-distant future, they'll probably be looking for a little diversion, because why should people up there suddenly be different than here on Earth? So, what do you do when you want to relax a little on the Moon? Of course, you work through the unspeakable reading lists of successful managers we all get on social media, right? Because they naturally hold the secret to their, and of course, our success. Or you put the finishing touches on your LinkedIn profile to be on the safe side, you never know. Or you just want to hang out and fool around, social media and all, you know. Oops, there goes another 2 hours. I can really well imagine that things will be so trivial on the Moon one day. But can it all work? I mean, in terms of infrastructure, is it so easy to fire up Instagram or Netflix up there? We'll see, but what is certain, though, is that telecom infrastructures are being worked on for beyond Earth as we speak. The European Space Agency, ESA, for example, has its own department for telecommunications and integrated applications. On closer inspection, this is a fascinating department where quantum internet is no longer a foreign concept. And guess what? The director of the department took the time to sit down with me and talk about just that.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Elodie Viau to the Space Cafe podcast. What is ESA doing in the telecom business?
Yeah, so the telecommunication sector is a very rich sector. There is a lot of commercial and private actors nowadays. However, it's very important to boost the competitiveness and encourage the European industry to have the public sectors and investment from the European member states. And that's why ESA, as European Space Agency, we are very active in the telecommunication domain in order to support this industry. So we are supporting them financially, building a partnership, but we are also supporting them from a technology standpoint, having numerous engineers that can facilitate and support them in the development of the new set of telecommunication. For example, for the next generation, we will look at optical communication, now looking towards the quantum technologies that are being developed. And it will be the next generation of internet that can be quantum internet, and we are working on such field. Another example will be like looking at the 5G and 6G, which is the next generation that will allow to have very interactive, even more dynamic way of communicating. Today, we are doing communication with FaceTime or WhatsApp or Skype call that will allow us during the COVID time to still be together in the link. And tomorrow we will be able to even have more experience of virtual connection. And that's what we are developing together with the industry. And finally, we are looking also at, for example, when we have space travels that are done towards the International Space Station, it's very important for the astronaut to be able to communicate by to their family or to share their experiences with the scientific community. Well, tomorrow, you can imagine that if we go towards the Moon and establish a permanent base there, we want to also establish telecommunication Wi-Fi on the Moon, for example. So we are working on certain projects to be able to have those communication link in space.
Wow, that's all fascinating. I mean, like, do you have like multiple hours today for our conversation? Because we will need like at least 3 to 7 hours. This is extremely fascinating, especially when you mentioned the quantum internet or the future internet. I mean, like, this is crazy. So we need to talk about this a little. But let me segue into that topic
with a very mundane and obvious question. So what is left for the terrestrial telecommunications companies when everything is moving into orbit, into space? So is there anything else to do, or is ESA now taking over and taking everything into orbit?
Yeah, so I think that's a very good question, what you have been asking. In fact, it's not at all something that will be either or. It will be a complementary of the terrestrial networks that have been under development. So nowadays, there is a new computer with a very high capacity of computing, fast processing. And in fact, that's those type of terrestrial network that will be linked towards with fiber optic, that we want to have a continuity and a seamless integration between those ground networks and the space network that we are envisaging. So it will be a one single space ground network that will allow any point anywhere on the Earth and to be connected and to be able to have a fast processing and fast transmission of data. That's typically toward that. So the business model is very important for all the actors. And at the European Space Agency, when we talk about integrated application and space solution, that's where we bring together various capabilities, for example, from Earth observation, telecommunication, and navigation. And at the European Space Agency, we facilitate the new entrants as well as the innovative idea to have a sustainable business case. So we are also, in addition to what I was mentioning before, a technical and financial support, we are also providing a more business support to those companies in order to make sure that they are sustainable when they start.
All right. So we've seen first taste of internet from the orbit, and of course I'm talking about Elon Musk's Starlink project. So is what ESA is having in mind, is this something similar? So will ESA also be employing constellations for that, or does that work differently?
Okay, so what we are intending to do is to support our industry. So we are not looking at doing exactly the same. We want to do it in the way the European industry is looking at the field. So we are looking at doing it also in a more sustainable way. So taking into consideration the fact that we need to, from the beginning, take care of the concerns such as the having space for everybody and making sure mm-hmm. that at end of life we are taking care of the space asset in a sustainable way, that we have the debris removal. So yes, we are doing, making sure that our European space industry stay in a leadership position that can provide to the citizens on Earth the right tool to protect and to secure their communication and infrastructure. But we want to do it in a more sustainable way, I would say, and also to bring added value for the people and as well as for their prosperity.
Mm-hmm. For the customer, what does this mean? So what is different for the customer once the ESA services are online in contrast to how things are going down today?
I think what is important is it's not necessarily an ESA services that will be online as much as a combination of private-public partnerships, so it will be still mm-hmm. The private sector that will have a place. However, for certain technology that are at the very advanced stage, we need to provide additional public support in order to share the risk with the private entity, in order for them to innovate faster in the market. So when it will be there, what we try to push is certain level of innovation. For example, to secure the communication, for example, on the quantum key distribution. So we were talking about quantum. So when we have those links, we need to also have additional capability to secure the link, and the quantum mm-hmm. key distribution will be able to do that. So for the customer, it will be having access to the data faster, and it will mm-hmm. have it in a more secured manner. So that's what we try to develop. With the other actors, we are not doing it in isolation. We are really doing it with all the players, being private, or it could be with other public actors like the European Commission.
Let's talk. Let's briefly talk about the quantum internet that you've been mentioning. So this is foremost a security internet. Is that right?
It's under development. It's quite advanced research at this stage, but it is foreseen to be with a better performance, better capability of fast computing, fast processing of data, but also a more secure approach. So that's a bit of a accumulation of those three aspects that will be. And again, it's under advanced development. So I'm talking for something that will be there in 10 to 15 years.
Fascinating. Okay. So could you, Elodie, walk us through how a future ESA/private partnership telecom communication setup, what this could look like? So for example, I now have my smartphone connected to a certain company that I prefer for delivering internet and telecom services. So let's say it's Company X. And today Company X works in this and that way, terrestrial towers, etc. So what will this look like in the future?
Yeah, so for example, this Company X that is working principally, as I understand from you, on a terrestrial ground network, will maybe come to ESA and say, hey, let's partner together because I would like to develop my capability and develop my services using space segment in order to provide more services. And then we can work with them and put them in contact with other partners to create an ecosystem together to be able to develop their vision and materialize it technically and financially to support them and to be able to create new innovative services that they will combine now the terrestrial capability and expertise that they have plus a space-based service, right? So that's what it will be look like for them to have a new, in their portfolio, a new services.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any
examples
what future services could look like? So what is it that we can already dream of?
Yes. So for example, I will take an example that is quite close to us, right? Like the car.
Yes.
Car are becoming very much electrical and becoming more and more autonomous. So there is a development of more the car become autonomous, more in order to be having a reliable security and having always a connection between the car and the car manufacturer that wants to know and to upload new services or new parameter, mm-hmm. even when the car is on the road, or to make sure that the drive is safe. Mm-hmm. So we can partner between various companies to develop a space segment interconnected with those autonomous vehicles. So mm-hmm. it can be a car, it can be an autonomous vehicle being a bus or a flying drones or mm-hmm. a flying vehicle of tomorrow. And we will have, at the same time, the car will be connected to the terrestrial network. But mm-hmm. he will have a redundant system through the space network. And that will mm-hmm. avoid, like, for example, when you are on the phone and then you have a gap of coverage, the communication is cut. When you are in your car, you don't want this communication to be cut. So that's mm-hmm. typically those type of service where we can partner and develop that with them and to do some testing. And then when it becomes operational, it's up to this company to sell the service and to develop it further.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and ESA's contribution to all this is to develop satellites and bring them into orbit, or what is ESA's contribution?
We have a various range of contribution because it can go from the equipment, being a user terminal or being an equipment on board of the satellite. So we can go from the equipment up to the product or even the full satellite or the system approach, being the development of a satellite and the ground associated to it, and even towards looking at the service aspect. So that there is a full variety that we are covering within the my directorate. And the space solution, as it stands, is more looking at the solution. It's more like on the integrated application. So it's bringing together Earth observation, navigation, and telecommunication to build new services. So, for example, to have a capability to have the Earth observation satellite mapping, where you can be geolocalized and then bring a service sending you messages where you are, this type of things that are developing. And now with the artificial intelligence, there is much more and more advanced capability of deploying search application.
Let's move a little bit further out, okay? You already mentioned the moon. I think it's called Project Moonlight, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, like, isn't that fascinating that we are in or living in a time where we are literally gearing up to build up infrastructure for communication on the moon? So we are taking, we're taking it seriously as humanity, I guess, because we're setting up a communication infrastructure that means the moon will be our new home very soon.
Yes, I believe so, because typically now we have more and more people going into space as astronauts, and we see now also the private sector and the general public being able to looking forward going towards space in near Earth. And the next step is to establish a permanent base on the moon. There is a lot of commercial mission or robotics mission at this stage that are going towards the moon very quickly. So having a communication, single communication system established around the moon allow to reduce the cost of those missions, because they can share the same communication means. They don't need to carry each of them very heavy telecommunication subsystem. But then after that, the next step will be to have the human presence on the moon. The big nation are looking forward and working heavily towards that goal. And when we are there, I think the most important moment when we are all looking at videos, we want to know what is going on the moon. We want to know, and we want to be able to dialogue with them, like we are dialogue with astronauts today, when we are looking at the billionaires in their vehicles going up and down. I think this is very exciting and very inspiring for the next generation of engineers, scientists, but also the business. Like, you can imagine people envisioning to deliver package on the moon if someone needs something there and that they didn't take it with them. So there is all those aspects that are being developed.
So, Elodie, does this mean that a future Moon Village citizen will be able to Instagram live or do their social media things from the moon in real time?
Yeah, that's the target. I mean, that's the target for, I think, social media is important. The social link of people is, it's at least expressing the need of people to be connected.
To communicate.
Sure. To be linked, especially when you are remote, isolated, like you could potentially be in such circumstance. I mean, after that, what is the content of the social media? It can be debatable, right?
So I always think there is a high-quality scientific debate going on.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, but I think the message of being able to be connected back Earth, or to be able to exchange the experience that we are living from a distance perspective, is what is important. And that gives also another perspective. When we see picture from the Earth, from the International Space Station, it has an impact on the people, how they perceive mm-hmm. their home base. Mm-hmm. And when they will see that even the space from the moon or there is also transforming people's perception about their mm-hmm. own living on Earth and what mm-hmm. they want to do about it.
Mm-hmm. So this is now a complete nerd question, but the time delay between moon and Earth, that's about a second, I think, because it's 300-something thousand kilometers. So that would still be the time delay the moon villagers will be experiencing, right?
I know. It depends with which mean we will communicate toward them, right? So we are considering also the possibility to use optical communication mm-hmm. and to increase the quantity of data that can be exchanged. Because it can mm-hmm. be a talk, but we may want to see a video and things like sure. that. So depending the quantity of data that want to be exchanged and how we want to exchange it. So we are looking at how we can relay things and so sure. there is a multiple way of looking at it.
Could you fill us in on what optical communication is in the first place?
It's like a laser communication. So you are transmitting information through an optical link, so a laser link. Instead of being a fiber on ground, it's a optical fiber that is transporting the light, which is carrying information. And space, you don't have the fiber, you just have the laser that is transmitting light and information.
Nice. So
in space, there is no attenuation or much less attenuation, let's put it this way, than on Earth, you have the attenuation of the medium that is transmitting, so the speed is reduced.
Okay, nice. So this works, like laser is the fastest way to communicate because it's the speed of light. So
yes.
That would mean from the moon village, one would see a laser beam going to a relay station, and that relay station goes to another relay station, and that one shoots a laser towards Earth. Would that be the way to do it?
Yes, and today we are doing some testing already between certain satellites that are at 36,000 kilometers and some ground optical station. So located in area where it is able to receive the signal. Mm-hmm. So that's already something that we are developing and testing nowadays.
When are you supposed to have this technology ready?
There is a wish to have a human presence back on the moon in 2024. At this stage, we may still use RF, classical communication, to be able to communicate back, because it's also a possibility. But then progressively towards a couple of years later, between 2025, 2030, that's where we plan to have some early demonstration of such communication.
A personal question, Elodie. I'm substantially older than you. How did you end up where you are right now in the directorate of ESA? Were you particularly good at math and physics back at school?
Yes, there is an aspect of I study, but I did like also being curious about the language and the economy. So I think it's just that I end up to really have an interest. It's important to be open to opportunities. Because it will be wrong if I tell you I was 15, I already knew that I wanted to work in the
sure.
space area. Started with an internship back there. I think it was at Ionistats on the rocket side, more mm-hmm. on the launcher side. And then it developed further and further.
Do you have a telescope you sometimes use to look at the stars?
I do. During my holidays, and especially the summer one. So you have a great possibility to look at various planets, and especially this summer I was more looking at Jupiter and Saturn. And and I think that's something that you can always turn up towards the sky and look at the stars.
Nice.
So
nice.
That's a great experience.
I was completely blown away a couple of weeks ago through the Perseid showers. That was fascinating this year. And I was lucky enough to spend the holiday with my kids and my wife at a beach. So we lay flat in the sand at midnight, and we're looking at the stars, counting the Perseids. That was really a fascinating moment. And I hope that made a little bit of an impression for my kids. So maybe I did a little bit of groundwork for future ESA employees.
Yeah, I think this is how it starts. It's all about transmission. It's all about giving the opportunity, showing the way, empowering people, and creating the passion.
The environment and the passion, yes. All right. So we were talking about inspiration. And at some point, you were inspired enough to become an expert for satellites, that is, right?
Yes.
Do you think there will be anytime soon something like a real-time Google Maps where you see the world moving as it is moving in real time?
So the intent is to develop a digital twin of the Earth. So that's a project that is ongoing within the European Space Agency, where people have this vision to really have a real-time visual and also the capability to anticipate and to simulate various scenarios.
What are maybe new use cases, new technological advances for satellites that will produce new services we haven't even dreamt of so far?
Yeah. So, for example, we have been during this COVID situation, we have seen multiple applications being generated to avoid that people feel isolated or that they can communicate in a more efficient way with their doctor, even if they're in a remote location or an isolated situation. So also to create a link between people during those challenging moments, like what happened with this pandemic, we foresee that with the 5G and then 6G capability of a 6G that will be deployed again with space and ground network seamlessly integrated, we will have the possibility to, for example, have the first head that will be possible for a medical doctor to be doing that on their patient in a remote way. So you can be virtually connected to your doctor, and especially if you are in a difficult condition. We can think that in a future pandemic, it could answer also to the difficulty of having all those hospital capacity, and it could still provide the first medical assistance to the patient. This is really important to have a satellite redundancy of the terrestrial network, because you don't want to be virtually with a medical operation ongoing with a loss of connection. So there is this type of aspect. There is other aspects that are completely in a much less serious environment or much less dramatic, let's say. For example, the tourist can experience, if you are not able to go to a site, you can experience to visit a site with a virtual reality and augmented reality and visit various sites. And that could also facilitate for certain sites to not be overloaded with tourists and to be destroyed due to this interaction. So you will be able to protect historical sites. Also to monitor what is the moisture on those sites, or if there is a need to repair or to rehabilitate some part of the touristic site. So there is plenty of application. I'm giving a few. You can, during the COVID, there was the issue of monitoring the sea container and the logistic, and make sure that we optimize the routes of those containers and the sea containers. there will be the possibility to have much more optimized routes thanks to a satellite application. That's mm-hmm. another example. I mean, mm-hmm. I can give many like that. So,
now it's, if ESA is now setting up new structures and new hardware in orbit combined with quantum security keys to make communication safer, and at the same time by providing new services, is this something that is then available globally for anyone? Or is this limited to, I don't know, European citizens? Because ESA, as a European agency, or is this still free for anyone who wants to tap into that service?
Okay, so it depends on which services and which application we are discussing. Most of the activities that we are doing in the telecommunication domain are with partnership with private sectors. And mm-hmm. The private sector are the owner of the intellectual property right, and they can serve services globally would they want to do it. So mm-hmm. it's, I think, certain case. We are developing activity with the European Commission, for example, to give a more autonomy and to Europe and to provide benefit to the European citizens. However, being autonomous, it's a first step to be able to do collaborative and international mm-hmm. collaboration as well. So those services can well be deployed and serve the world citizens as well.
This doesn't mean that the internet is breaking apart in the future because everyone is doing their own thing.
I think we are working towards making it more sustainable. At least that's what we are pushing forward.
Sustainable, does that also mean green?
I think the sustainable in my mind is containing a couple of elements. That is, means that it's for people benefit. It's also for making it for the planet benefit. So more in a really green approach, if you want. And then it's for the prosperity of people. So it's also for an economical benefit overall.
How do we deal with ever more satellites in orbit? Of course, we're talking about space traffic control. Are there any solutions on the horizon?
Yeah, so at the Open Space Agency, we are developing through the project ADRIOS the capability to capture debris, space debris or inert space assets. We are also looking and pushing forward more regulation and also the capability to have first on every constellation that is developing by design, capability to have a removal or a sustainable way of managing those constellations. So by design, we are looking at developing a system where at the end of life of the satellite, they can have a re-entry for those ones that are in low Earth orbit.
So does that mean that future ESA satellites are equipped with such technology?
Not yet, but we are working on developing those technology.
Great. Wonderful. Elodie, do you love drinking coffee?
Yes.
Good. Because this is a Space Cafe podcast. And okay. at the end of our show, we're sitting in a coffee place at the moment. So would you be so kind as to very spontaneously share an inspiration for the mind, sort of an espresso for the mind? Is something you would like to share where you think that could be an inspiration for younger people or for whoever you want to inspire? So what would be your espresso for the mind, for the audience?
So what I want to share is that within our directorate, I'm in interaction with more than 1,000 startups of entrepreneurs, newcomers in the space industry that are there and coming up with their new ideas and that are not hesitating to come to us and debate with us on a technical and a business side their new ideas to make them materialized. So I think there is a huge potential in Europe for the entrepreneurial to be further developed. So I will encourage anyone that is hearing me that has a bright idea but never dare to push it further. Just you can come to the European Space Agency, test your idea, pitch it, and see if we can help you to materialize it. Being a technical or being more financial or new business setup that you want to do, I think there is always a possibility for partnering with someone else to make it happen.
Wonderful. Now, all that is left, you need to share your telephone number with the audience because, now, I mean, seriously, how do people pitch to ESA?
Yeah, so that's without sharing my phone number, there is a possibility to either locally, there is business incubation center in 60 locations. You can find on the more information, of course, on internet. And there is also the possibility to also contact ESA and apply for various ideas and calls. So there is contact numbers on the ESA website as well. And then it's a possibility. And then we, even if you are not addressing the right person at the right moment, we always redirect towards the important members.
Wonderful. Elodie, Vio, thank you very much for that wonderful conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks for being with us today. I forgot to ask how it will be with the roaming fees up there on the moon. There will be a next time, I guess. Thank you all for your growing interest. Please stay tuned for what is to come very soon. We have some very exciting guests from a region that gets rarely featured when it comes to stories from the space industry. Until then, stay tuned. Bye-bye.